Greetings and welcome to episode 20 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up on this episode, I am joined once again by David and Sarah from FreshBaitDisney.com as we begin our final countdown to the release of the film Maleficent. So, without any further ado, let's begin. Alrighty, everyone. I am joined by David and Sarah from Fresh Baked Disney. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, James. Fresh Baked.
Fresh Baked.
Welcome back to the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. You are, I believe, the first three timers, so you got that record going for you.
Yeah, we made a hat trick.
And I asked you to come back on because you two are my Maleficent BFFs. As we are gearing... That's a weird thing to say, but it's true. Because we're gearing up.
Well, I do love me some Maleficent. I'll give you that.
All right. I don't know. Whatever. We're gearing up for the film. The film that everyone's getting pumped out about, you know, getting excited. And we are overanalyzing it because that's the responsibility of a podcast about creepy Disney stuff.
That's right.
That is our responsibility.
So we're going to do it. We're not too far away from the release date at this point. Can you believe it?
Yep.
I think the first time we talked about it, it was snowing out still. I mean, not for you guys, but here in cold New Jersey.
Wait,
it's still
snow. What's snow?
It's the
what is snow?
It's those bubbles they put on Main Street during Christmas.
Oh, soap. You mean floating soap. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes. Or Snope, as it's called, I've learned.
Snope, yes.
As it were. But anyways, yeah, it's creeping up here, and no pun intended, and we have some things to talk about.
Yep.
So...
Oh my.
Was that just a dog? Is there a dog joining us?
Yes. A creepy dog that you can ignore.
Excellent. So, one thing that's happened since we last chatted was they have released a new trailer. It is worth mentioning that the new trailer... had some interesting little tidbits in it.
Yeah, it did.
Well, well. I shall bestow a gift on the child. Before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she will fall into a sleep like death. Curious little beastie. Bring her to me.
I know you're there. Don't be afraid.
I am not afraid.
Then come out.
Then you'll be afraid.
All the other fairies fly. Why don't you?
I had wings once. They were strong. But they were stolen from me. There is evil in this world. Hatred. And revenge.
Bring me her head.
I call on those who live in the shadows. Fight with me now! Is it true? Are you Maleficent?
It was pretty much a rehash of a lot of things we'd seen before, but there was some other stuff going on in there.
Such new stuff in there, yes.
Such as it showed that Maleficent once had wings.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about that?
Strong and powerful wings.
Yes.
About the wings or about what that means?
By what it means, I mean, or both. I mean, what do you think? What do you think of the look of the wings?
I think that she, like most things in this movie, she looks really good with those wings on. I think the wings really are cool looking, and the way that she acts with them on was very powerful looking. I think she did it well, you know, because it's hard to kind of pretend like you have wings, right?
Right.
But I bought it. She's got wings.
Well, I thought she really had them. She doesn't really have them?
Yeah, I know, right? It looked pretty cool.
And so what does that mean? What do you guys think that means, that she used to have wings and that she lost them? What's behind that?
Well, I don't know if they ever mentioned this in the trailer, but there's I may go spoiler on the sneak preview that they did at Disneyland, because they kind of tell you what happened.
All right, well, let's not jump to that then.
With those wings.
I want to...
Okay.
Let's not jump to that yet. That's coming up. Okay. All right. So there's that. We also have... Go ahead.
Oh. Personally speaking, as a woman, if I had wings and they were taken from me, I'd be pissed. So... Mm. I'm pretty sure that's going to obviously help us, you know, clue into why Maleficent is who she is, because that would probably suck, having those big, powerful wings taken away from you for whatever reason it was.
Right, yeah. I couldn't see getting over that, ever.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get over that one.
It's like every time you go to, fly and you fall down. Yeah.
Reminded.
You know,
just walking.
Right. You're like, ah, oh, my wings. I must set some curses. So, we also got a little look at some evil-looking tree creatures in this new one.
Oh yeah, what do they call those things? The from Lord of the Rings. The
I don't remember.
Okay, I have to ask this question. Why do they insist on trading on Lord of the Rings? And like every movie has to look like Lord of the Rings now. Or have some kind of reference to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it set the standard, I guess, for that kind of fantasy film.
I don't need any more tree nymphs. Not nymphs. What the heck are tree monsters, trolls? What?
Right.
Yeah. I don't need that. I'm good without that. You can come up with something on your own, right?
I could, yeah.
Well, I don't mean you personally, James, but go ahead and answer that. That's fine. That kind of bugged me a little bit, seeing those trees, because they were pretty much doing the exact thing. And they show more of that, again, spoiler alert, in the sneak preview. They show a little more of those trees in action. And I swear they ripped it right out of the battle scene from Lord of the Rings. So.
We'll have to see.
That bummed me out a lot.
We'll be the judges of that.
Yes, we will. And the last kind of bombshell in this trailer, which brought up something that we had discussed previously, you know, we're wondering what is it going to appear, was the very last few seconds of this trailer. You see Maleficent as a dragon.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, dude, I lost it. When I first saw that, I was like, oh, like I said profanity, which I'm not going to say now, but I... Cause this is a clean show. But, man, it was... Because the whole time I told you when we talked last, I was like, I don't know. I mean, they might not have it. I don't want to get my hopes up, you know, like, but they have it. Or they have it,
that,
all right.
That dragon, that dragon looked badass. I'll say that.
I agree. I completely agree. This last trailer got me even more excited to go see it now.
Yeah, they really brought the excitement up. I think they did a pretty good job of how they've been releasing things. You know, we did talk about that one Phantom trailer that was really horrible that went away that showed the scenes next to the animated versions from the original Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a real bummer of a trailer.
I think they realized there's no point in trying to trade on the old movie here. Let's just keep moving forward.
Right. So from then, I really feel that they have they've done a good job, and I'm sure this is the last trailer since it's coming out very soon. I don't know if they're going to drop another one. Let's move on, I guess, to the thing you alluded to, David, was that starting, I guess it was April 18th, I believe, if not very close to that date. The Disney parks on both coasts had an extended preview of Maleficent. So David's the only one that has seen this out of the three of us. So please indulge us. What happened?
It's about 10 minutes. And about half that time, it felt like they spent setting up the actual curse, you know, when they're having the ceremony for the birth of Aurora, and they bring in, you know, the good fairies or whatever they're called, good fairies, right?
I guess so. Yeah, I'll go with that.
And they start doing their granting wishes to the baby that, you know, she'll be beautiful and always happy. And then in comes Maleficent and she's super pissed and because she wasn't invited. It's actually quite a bit like the last trailer, just extended, you know, a little more detail for each segment that they showed. So, like, most importantly would be the part that stuck out to me the most was the scene where they show her, cursing Aurora, that she'll fall into a death-like sleep. And they got that green glow behind her and looks very ominous. I'm sorry to report, that's the best it's going to look.
Really?
Well, for me anyway, because it's actually a lot more drawn out. She makes it okay. The whole plot is that Aurora's gonna, you know, prick her finger on the spindle and fall into this death-like sleep, right?
Right.
And she's trying really hard to make it sound like pricking your finger on a spindle is very nefarious, like it's this, it's very menacing. But you can't make it menacing. You just can't. Like, you can't threaten you're gonna poke your finger. As like
right.
This doomsday threat, you know, and I'm like, oh, come on, you know, I just kind of wish that they could have maybe taken a little creative license with that.
Maybe threaten
right
something else,
script, you know?
Yeah, maybe threaten something.
Yeah,
else.
Like I'm not afraid of a spindle. I'm just not. Not ever will I ever be afraid of a spindle. You can't make it creepy or scary for me. Yeah, so she and that's the thing, is that they build up to it. She's like, you know what, I'm super mad, and you can just see the king. He's like, please don't do anything terrible. He's begging her with his eyes, and it's really powerful. His perspective, and she's like, okay, you know, I'm gonna really turn you guys out, and she's gonna poke her finger, and she's trying really hard in it, and what's even worse is that she says actually that she's gonna die. Right, that pricking her finger will kill Aurora.
All right,
and then the king kind of like says, "Hey, you know, please don't do that." She's like, "You know what? Okay, you begged me. So instead of dying, she's just gonna fall asleep forever." Wahahaha! You know, and it's Like, she's going to get really sleepy.
Okay.
I won't kill her, but she's just going to get really sleepy.
Again, hard to sound menacing.
Right. Like, how do you, how, and she's trying. She's really trying, but I'm like, oh my gosh, come on. But, yeah, that was the one bummer that I had from that extended clip. But then it starts to kick a whole lot of butt again after that.
Okay. I guess they kind of were like, you know how it gets started. So let's just recap that and then,
right.
You know, we'll get to the other activities that you, I assume are new story or elements of the story.
Right. Oh, yeah. And that's also when they go to Pandora. I don't know
Excellent.
If you guys saw
yes.
that.
No, I didn't see that.
There's about 2 seconds in the trailer where you kind of get a sense, but it's just blue, green, and bright and shiny, and it's Pandora. It's basically Pandora. That's where she, Aurora, grows up.
Wow.
But instead of you know, like six-legged creatures, there's little nymphs and fairies and stuff that live in the forest. So, I don't know. So
this, I like fairies.
What about Sarah? What'd you say?
I said I like fairies.
Oh, excellent. Let's make sure. I thought I talked over that and I got buried, but let's get that loud and clear. You like fairies. Let's make sure everyone knows. So is this supposed to mimic when she goes and lives in the woods and sings Once Upon a
yes.
Dream? Okay.
Yes. She does meet, or she does find. Now, here's what I think it's clever what they're doing in the sneak peek, but they don't really get into it in the trailer. And I don't know if this is common knowledge or not, but they're setting this up to make Maleficent a sympathetic character.
Hmm.
She's taken Aurora, or she finds her in the forest, and she's taken her or whatever. But it's only to like tell her story. You know, why is she evil? You know, and it's not my fault. I've been, you know, she's been messed with, and she, you know, going back to what we talked about before, she had her wings clipped, and dollars to donuts, Aurora's dad, the king, clipped those wings. So
interesting. So,
that was my big reveal from earlier when I didn't want to.
Right.
My spoiler alert. But that's what I'm taking from that, because she talks about how she's having a very touching conversation with Aurora in the forest. And yes, I used to have wings; they were strong and powerful. Then, you know, they were taken from me.
So let me get this straight. So she, from what we know, she wasn't invited to the party. She's pissed. She threatens to kill their daughter. And said, "Please don't. All right, I'll make her sleep forever." So this is inevitably
right.
going to happen. At some point, as far as Maleficent's concerned. But then, before it happens, she decides to tell Aurora why she's going to do it. For sympathy? That's...
No, it happens after Aurora. It happens, like, in the story, after she's grown. She's 16, mm-hmm. and in the forest, just before she discovers the spindle and puts her to sleep, she has that conversation with her. It's 16 years later, after she's cursed her.
Oh, okay. So she has maybe some remorse for her actions.
Could be, yeah, could be. But like I said, the way that you know, Angelina Jolie appears to be playing it, and the way that they're selling it, it very much looks like this is going to be a story of perhaps, you know, retribution or, you know,
or
like forgiveness or something.
Sympathy for Maleficent.
Right.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I know.
Cause I, don't...
I could be wrong. That's the message that I'm getting.
That's, I can agree with that. That's how I feel. The last preview we watched, it totally made me feel like, while watching the movie, just like we're saying, I will eventually start to feel some, you know, aw for Maleficent when she mm-hmm. closes up to Aurora and tries to buddy-buddy with her. And
right. Yeah, because she's kind of like, pardon the word, but she's creeping on Aurora, right? She's walking on the floor. She's kind of
yeah.
spying on her a little bit.
Yeah, right. Totally creeping on her.
Yeah, and it's, you know, she wants to reach out to her.
I think it's going to give a good dynamic.
This is, I'm going to sleep on this one. I don't, because a lot of, a lot of things I've been seeing, I don't know, I don't recall if it was in this last trailer or it was one before, but there's this one shot where somebody is walking up to Maleficent's right, and she just snaps her fingers and they evaporate into thin air. I don't know if you guys recall that.
Yeah, she's got that in her.
I was like, that was so badass. You know, I just wanted to just go around like killing people and just being evil.
Right, and see, that's my point, James, is that she's got that in her. She can just snap her fingers and obliterate people, but her huge, magnificent curse on Aurora is to make her sleepy. I mean, I don't, like, it doesn't, they don't go together.
No, no.
Not that impressive.
Well, what we're talking about right here actually makes the potential of the film a lot more interesting than I even imagined. You know,
yeah.
I hope they don't blow it.
Well, it'll look cool no matter what. Right. That much I can say.
Yeah, no, it definitely looks great. Oh, what theater was it in?
Well, okay, that was another gripe that I had that I didn't remember to mention. Although there's not much you can do about it. It's at the Bugs Life Theater.
Okay.
The Bugs Life Theater, where they do It's Tough to Be a Bug.
What?
Yeah.
It's so awkward.
Well, don't they usually...
It was totally awkward.
Don't they usually in DCA do it at Muppet Vision when they have previews?
Yeah. Well, that's where they did the Tron preview, which was actually worked out pretty good because, you know, you had the whole rave going on there, so...
Wait a minute. Isn't there like an actual theater over in Carthay Circle area?
No, that's a restaurant.
But isn't that where they showed the preview for The Lone Ranger?
They showed it at the 11 Theater.
Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, so me being a nerd for theming and for immersion.
Bugs have nothing to do with Maleficent.
Yeah, you gotta. They tried. They took down some of the posters. You know, the marquee posters that you see in there along the walls. Yeah. And
dumb. That's dumb.
Yeah, you were still in the Bugs Life Theater, and it was just it didn't work for me. But you know, I mean, they could have put it in the Muppet Vision Theater, which isn't exactly better. Because this really doesn't have anything to do with Muppets either. But I mean, where else can you put it? I don't know.
Well, my question why I asked was the preview in 3D?
Yes, it was.
So what did you think of the 3D?
I'm not a fan of 3D, actually. I would prefer if they stopped making movies in 3D altogether.
What came out as 3D? Did anything even come out?
There's just depth. It's not like, they're not like throwing spears at your face or, you know. There's no gags. But it's just depth, you know, depth of field, basically.
Okay, now I love 3D, like, in general, like, as a concept, but usually most movies that come out in you know, the Cineplex in 3D are post-conversion 3D,
right?
Which it wasn't intended to be, and that usually is pretty pointless and it doesn't really do anything.
That's so nothing.
So I was, you know, it's like, oh, there's depth, and then after a minute you totally forget that that's there and you just paid $4 or $5 extra, you know. No, so I get that that sucks, but when 3D's done right, I love it. So I'm like
right, but it's got to play a part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to be the case for this one or not, but in general, I find that I don't feel like I'm missing anything if I don't see a movie in 3D.
Right. I mean, it depends what it is for me. I recently saw the new Captain America film, which I loved, by the way, and I saw it in 3D.
I was going to say, I feel really bad that I haven't seen it yet.
it's a great film. I mean... in my opinion, is the best Marvel movie yet. So, but
that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that they set a new standard.
Oh, definitely.
Wow.
I liked it more in Avengers for sure. But not getting into that. I felt that I saw it in 3D and there was nothing that was added to it by watching it in 3D like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing really fantastic about it. It's really grounded in reality. I mean, there's crazy stunts and stuff, but it's not like watching Thor or something where you see like these crazy worlds or something. And although there's some amazing things that could have been really good in 3D, it definitely was post-conversion. And I'm just like, guys, what are you doing? It's like, you just got another $5 out of me. That's what you're doing.
I was going to say, they're making $5. What are you talking about?
I remember when the 3D first came back, because obviously in the 80s, it was the red and blue.
Yeah, I know.
It was in, I don't know if it was the first, but the first time I remember seeing it was in 2006, the first time they re-released Nightmare Before Christmas. And it said, oh, Nightmare on Christmas in 3D. And I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be so amazing. Like everything's going to come out at the screen, because that's the 3D that I grew up with. Things coming out at the screen, not going back into it.
Right.
And that was pretty disappointing. I mean, the 3D element of it, just kind of going like, I guess that's kind of cool that there's some depth, but I'm like, I wanted to be immersed in, especially in the opening, this is Halloween scene, mm-hmm. I just imagined all the transparent ghosts coming out of the screen and, and all this stuff. And
none of that happened, huh?
None of that happened at all. And that was 2006, and now, that many years later, and it's literally the same thing. So, I was just curious to see if there was some 3D elements of it that you saw that was like, oh, there's actually something going on here.
Yeah, no, nothing really jumped out at me there. Not figuratively speaking. Literally, nothing jumped out at me.
Alrighty, so let's move on to our next little Maleficent news. We had talked about the possible idea, will they be revamping the Maleficent face character in the parks to look more like Angelina Jolie instead of the Green Goblin? And I don't know, the in-park Maleficent reminds me of Green Goblin from Spider-Man, I don't know. But so...
Wait, I know the answer.
Do you?
You do?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
Yes.
Really?
Well, yeah, obviously that video. She's obviously not, she doesn't have a chin or the green makeup. She looks like, right? I mean, right. The video that we looked at.
So we are referencing a video that is from Don Cullo's YouTube channel that was from an event on April 17, 2014, which was the Disney Social Media Moms Celebration 2014, which I was not invited to for some reason. So
ooh,
I was pissed.
Curse them. Yes. Curse them.
I'm thinking about it.
Make them sleepy, James. Make them sleepy.
I'm really thinking about making everyone there sleepy. So... I don't know what this event is at all. I don't know if you guys heard of this before.
No, I never heard of it.
No, I haven't.
I have a vague inkling of what Social Media Moms is. I know I see that hashtag a lot on Twitter, so I assume it's literally what it is. maybe it seems like an extension of the Disney Moms panel, which writes on the Disney Parks blog. So I guess maybe they just threw a little party to get them all pumped up or something. I'm sure that that's a good assessment of what it was.
It's a show I bear no ill will. I, too, wish to bestow a birthday wish on the child. Listen well. This princess shall indeed grow in grace and beauty. Loved by all who meet her. But...
I believe Elle Fanning is in the video.
Yep.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, it's her.
I thought that was a guest.
No, it's totally Elle Fanning.
So they got...
She looks awkward and like out of place.
Yeah, yeah, she really does. But I'm looking up articles, and yeah, it was definitely her to... She was there because they were having her share the clip from Maleficent, and she was celebrating her 16th birthday, ironically enough.
Oh, okay. I'm sure they showed the same clip that you saw, David, since this was the day before it premiered in the parks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and her whole speech is basically the speech that they show in the clip, too. Really? That whole clip is basically the speech that I was talking about in the beginning.
Okay.
With
the curse. Well, if they got Elle Fanning, why couldn't they have gotten Angelina to do it?
Well,
she's too busy adopting children.
That's always the answer to why Angelina Jolie can't do something.
Right. Well, it's on her Google calendar every Thursday.
Oh, God.
Every Thursday. So Elle's talking, shows a clip, and a face character dressed like Angelina Jolie as Maleficent comes out.
Yes.
So what did you guys think of that portrayal?
Maybe it was just the video, but in my absolute honest opinion, it was kind of boring to me. I didn't really feel that, like, ooh, that must have been so fun to be there. I didn't feel that way at all. But that was just my opinion. I could be totally the only one who feels that way.
Well, you may or may not be. What do you think, David?
Well, I do have... I think part of that is that they kind of rushed it. It was, at least when you compare it to Angelina's speech in the movie, or maybe that's because Angelina's, you know, a fine actress, and this is a, you know, a face character at Disneyland. Yeah. But her delivery was very rushed and, like, very hurried. But on the same token, you know, this is a live show and they probably want to keep the pace moving.
Right.
So it did. It felt a little awkward and forced, but that's typical. That's, you know, that's how these things are. I thought she tried really hard and did really well. You know, the actress is, in terms of trying to put on a Angelina persona.
Right.
Oh yeah, she tried very hard, and I give her props. She did fine,
but it
just didn't do it.
Yeah, it was just so. It just seemed like it was like left field. Like she came running on stage, stole the stage for a few seconds, then ran off stage, and then of course at Elle. She just stood there. I mean, if Elle could have looked maybe a little bit terrified, but it looked like she was like, "Who's this lady? Why she's on the stage?" You know, that's why I didn't think it was her. You know?
Maybe nobody told her that Maleficent was.
Yeah, but you can tell, by the way, that obviously they're, and I hope they do this in the parks. I think that would be cool. But no green makeup, no chin. You know. It looked like Angelina from the movie.
What yeah, she looked like. I think you're right. I'm looking up pictures of the Maleficent from that day, and that looks like more than likely what they're going to bring to the parks.
I have not seen her yet either. So at in the last couple trips, I've not seen her.
Oh no, hasn't been in the parks yet. This is the first view, you know. Showing like anywhere, I haven't seen any other coverage of this. So that's why I wanted to talk about it, because this was the debut of what could potentially be the face character. No one said that she's coming, you know. But
yeah, maybe so. And I tell you what, if that face character shows up like she did in the parks, there'll be a riot.
Mm-hmm. I hope they do, because I feel that there was just personally, artistically, or creatively, whatever. I feel there was a real disconnect when Alice in Wonderland came out, Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, and they didn't represent them in the parks at all, and especially in Disneyland, where the classic Alice characters are. I just feel that maybe they just felt they couldn't do it because of the dark ride.
I can speak to that, actually. Yeah. The Wendy and Hatter character, or not Winnie, the Alice and Hatter characters at Disneyland, mm-hmm. are probably the most revered characters, the face characters in the park.
Right.
They have their own fan clubs. I mean, everybody knows who Epic Hatter is and who who Ginger Snap. I forgot her name. Who's the Alice? You know what I mean?
Ginger Snap Alice.
Ginger Snap Alice. Yes, these are probably the two most famous walk around face characters in the park, and you can't mess with that. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's understandable, but it's just one of those weird things, you know. Just like, I don't know. Well, I'm glad to see that they would switch it out or temporarily. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't heard anything about meet and greets opening up or.
Well, I hope anything, so.
But you know,
James, I have a question. Would you have wanted to see like the Johnny Depp Hatter character walking around the park instead of the old Hatter?
Temporarily, not permanently.
Well, you know, they do have the hats.
Yes.
Right? Those hats are Johnny Depp hats. They don't sell an old school Mad Hatter hat.
That's true. That is very true.
They don't sell those anymore? Oh, I didn't even realize.
No. Now that you mention it, I don't see those old Mad Hatter hats. I only see the Johnny Depp Hatter hat.
With the hair?
Right.
With the wig?
Yeah, right. The orange hair and the green.
That's interesting. That's so confusing. Well, now, at least that the Tim Burton style is sort of represented at the Mad Tea Party.
Oh, Tim Burton's well taken care of at Disneyland.
Yeah. No, I know. I meant Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland character.
That's oh, okay. You can't go 50 yards without seeing Jack Skellington, so.
So, you know, but I would have thought it was strange if we didn't. And we still haven't. I keep talking like I know what's happening, but if they didn't change Maleficent out, if only temporarily, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance they will.
Well, let's hope so. Let's. All right. So moving on to our last piece here is that there's an article that was on Salon.com. That says that some new evidence has been found that the classic horror icon Vampira, portrayed by, no, I always say her name wrong, Amalia Nerving. I always do.
I couldn't figure that one out either.
Was a inspiration for Maleficent. I actually am a huge vampire fan. So when I first saw this, I was like, brain overload. I'm like, where's this information coming from? And the gist of this article is that, first of all, if you're unfamiliar with Vampira, she was known for several different things. I mean, this... Nalio came up with the character and portrayed her as a hosted horror movies in the 50s on like the Saturday Night Movie. She was a direct inspiration for Elvira, and she's also known for being in the Ed Wood film Plan 9 from Outer Space, and of course she was portrayed in the film Ed Wood starring Johnny Depp. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of got to know her. But if you Google vampire, you'll really get, you know, deep into it. But this isn't a vampire history segment, but apparently she had passed away. I mean, I know she did actually pass away a few years ago, and she had a journal that her niece had found when going through her things that was never released. And she had wrote in her journal about going to pose for sketches while Sleeping Beauty was in development for Maleficent. And the journal entries are very vague, but it does say Maleficent by name. It talks about going to Walt Disney Studios. And it does reference the name of a casting director at the time, which was confirmed by the person who runs the Walt Disney archives. So what did you guys think of this article?
I liked it. I was very intrigued.
this article was also written by someone that had just done a brand new vampire documentary. And this article came out like right after like the buzz of all the other things. So I was kind of like, I felt like I wanted more proof. I don't know. it was almost too good to be true. Like,
like maybe if they had actually taken pictures of the diary writings instead of just like typing out what the diary said, maybe if there was actual footage or pictures of the diary entries.
Well, I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to actually see it, but it would be interesting to see that the actual diary, but maybe they couldn't do that, but I'll give him credit for that.
What a good man you are.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm saying that I felt like this article came out like very in a very convenient time. I don't know. Like, I was like, why wait till right now to like drop this if this really is.
When did she die?
Jeez, what year was that? I believe I'm gonna go with 2008.
Oh yeah, no, they're totally liars then, because they've had plenty of time.
What'd you say there? What?
I'm just kidding. No, if it's been since 2008, that's a long time. You're right. What are they? Why are they holding back?
Yeah, it's, I mean, they just discovered this like right when the new Maleficent trailer came out and it's buzzing all over the internet. Like, I'm just like.
Well, then again, if you announced it in 2009, would anybody care?
True, very true.
No, I mean, I get why they did it. I'm just, but it helps. It makes me question it. And I want to know more. That's kind of my point. Without even reading it, you kind of see like, it basically saying, Angelina, you're not the real Maleficent. This is the real Maleficent. Like, that's kind of the subtext.
Oh, I didn't get that.
I mean, by...
I thought they were just trying to give her a little credit.
Well, the real... The name of this article is The Real Maleficent, the surprising human face behind the sleeping beauty villain. Move over, Angelina Jolie. I've uncovered the long-forgotten model of the original cartoon witch.
I mean, I didn't read that part. I read the actual article. I didn't read that. I thought it was just a touching tribute to a lady who was very
right. I mean, it should have been, but I mean, that's the first thing when you read, you're like, it's pretty much, to me, putting this out at that time is saying, like, Angelina Jolie is not it. Like, stop,
well,
you know.
I don't think anybody believes that Angelina Jolie is the Maleficent. I mean, she's been around for 50 years, 60 years, how long has it been?
Right. No, obviously people know that she wasn't modeled after, but just kind of trying to take her thunder after, you know, people are loving the clips of her.
Because she looks awesome, James. She looks so hot.
You don't have to tell me that. I've seen it.
hey, maybe the author of this article just, you know, maybe they're just an Angelina hater. Maybe that's why you're getting that vibe from them. Maybe that's all it is.
Maybe that's what it is. At this point, I will say this on the show. I wasn't going to mention this, but I'm like, why not? It's been months and nothing's happened. So I actually reached out to the author of this article to ask them to come on the show and talk about this.
Yeah.
And I've heard nothing. So. So I'm calling you out, dude. Sorry. I tried in several different ways too, by the way. So because I really wanted to talk to him about this.
Can I just say, or while we're admitting things,
okay,
that for at least halfway through that article, I thought they were talking about Elvira.
Me too.
I'm like, wait, she's not that old.
I had to look up Vampira because then I got confused because then I was like, well, wait a minute. If I'm thinking of Elvira, then who's Vampira?
Right, which is which is, of course, what vampire fans hate.
Right.
I bet, huh?
Right. And then,
I mean, no, yeah, I'm not talking about me. I love Elvira, too, but I'm just saying.
Then I schooled myself, and then I learned some more.
Have you guys seen Ed Wood?
Yes, about 100 years ago.
No, I haven't, but that's on my to-see list, because I love me to death.
I mean, of its own accord, it's a great film, but also...
Yeah, no, it's very good.
Yeah, but... So yeah, but I also, but just Vampire and the work of Ed Wood are like, I'm a huge fan of all that stuff. And if I could tie like my love of that to like Disney together, I was really excited. Like I wanted proof. I want to know exactly how it is. So if for somehow this gets back to this guy, who knows? I don't know. R.H. Green is his name. Maybe you could, you know, contact me and we can kind of like get to the bottom of this a little more. I was kind of talking a little negatively about this, so, you know, he might not want to, but I would fear he'd want to come on and defend his article, right? I don't know. Like,
yeah, prove us wrong and let us know what your opinion is.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys wrong. I believe him.
All right, so Damon's on board. Sarah's on the fence. I pretty much believe him too. I just want to dive deeper. I want to be like, oh, I get
it. You want the smoking gun.
Yeah, yeah. You know, cause this is important to me. Like, yeah. That's why I want to know. And I feel like that headline was just attention grabbing and demerits a tribute to Vampire if she actually is or was the inspiration for Maleficent, you know. So I feel that's strange, so I just want to know. But he's probably not, if he didn't respond to the emails, the tweets, the smoke signals, the carrier pigeons,
SOS.
I'm sure
person with a death-like sleep.
Yeah, if only I could. Oh, he has to not invite me to his parties first. That's the only way I can
do it. Yeah, there you go.
I'm like it's like the same way a vampire can't be, you know, can't come in your house unless you invite them in. I can't set curses unless you don't invite me to parties.
It's very fair. Very tolerant of you. Yes. For a creepy guy, you're fair.
Yeah, I'm creepy but fair. Well, that's going to do it about it. I don't think we're going to have another one of these in Maleficent Geek Out Fest until the film's released. And obviously, I would love to have you guys come back post the film release and, you know, chat about it and, you know, share our thoughts. Thank you, too, for coming back on. You get the 3-timer award.
Of course.
And where can people find your work? And in case you haven't heard, actually, if someone listening hasn't heard you guys on before, why don't you talk a little bit about what it is that you do?
Fresh Baked is primarily, we do videos, daily videos on YouTube. We go to the park every week, we film it, and we cut it up for daily distribution to bring the park to you. It's more than just a ride through or, you know, what's happening, like news. It's actually immersing you into the experience of being at Disneyland through our pure joy and happiness of being there. You can find Fresh Baked just about anywhere, you know, including YouTube, on our, you know, website, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I don't know, we're everywhere.
Basically all social media bases, if you plug us in, you will find us.
Yeah. We got articles, videos, photos, whatever you need. We're here to make you feel like Disney's the greatest thing in the world.
Yep.
So are you guys on Friendster?
Never heard of it. What's that?
Oh, that was like before MySpace. It was Friendster.
It's
a stupid joke. Totally bombed.
Do I need to be there? Can you link me?
I don't know if they still are active. I should see if my profile's still up. But
Okay, so technically we don't have a MySpace or a Friendster or an AOL homepage.
Ah, yes. No AOL. That's all right. Yeah, I guess we'll just have to deal with Instagram and Pinterest and stuff. But
yep.
I wanted to say I enjoy watching your videos. I feel like I'm stalking you guys. That's really the feeling I get. Like I'm just like three steps behind you.
Well, that's we do that on purpose. When I talk, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to Sarah or anybody else. I'm talking to the people who are, you know, coming along with me, you know, on the journey. So I'm not surprised you feel like that.
I agree, because when I respond, I'm not responding to David because I don't care about David. I'm responding to myself.
Yeah, this one in particular, you, David, were going to meet Sarah. And I really honestly felt like, oh, I just met up with David and we're meeting up with Sarah later. And I can't say that there's, and it was like, and I started feeling pretty like kind of weird, like I was being voyeuristic or something. And I'm just because I've talked to you guys so much, you know, and I'm like, but like I couldn't talk back. You guys couldn't hear me. And it was like,
hey, that's okay. Talk back, and maybe one of these times I will just randomly hear your voice.
Wow, if that happens, I'm going straight to the loony bin, man. If that would be something else. And one thing it really shows in your videos that most videos I ever show is just how darn crowded it is at Disneyland.
Isn't it though? I'm pretty much over like trying to determine if it's a busy day or not. It's just busy. It's always a busy day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just because when you think about it, I mean, I don't know if you guys, because you go a lot, but when most people just think about going to the parks when they don't live near them, they don't think about that kind of stuff, you know? You just think about, you know? And so I would say it really literally is like you or you're just walking around the park. That's what's great about your videos. There's my endorsement. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I've got no problem, you know, turning the camera on in the middle of a line and, you know, trying to get you like in the line, you know what I mean? Like that's probably why you're feeling that.
Right, exactly. Cause that's the part you don't like, oh, I'm going to go to Disneyland. It's going to be so awesome. I'm going to go ride this ride. I'm going to eat this food. You're not like, I'm going to stand in this line. And then I'm going to go stand in this line. Like, you know, like, you don't think about that. You know, I'm going to grab this fast pass. And then I'm going to walk all the way across here and then, you know, come back an hour later.
And it's going to take me 20 minutes to walk across.
And I have to keep like zigzagging around people as I'm trying to walk 10 feet. You know?
Yeah, and if you want to have a conversation with somebody, good luck while you're walking.
Yeah, those are the things you don't think about. But with that, I'm not, I mean, of course, you know, whatever, it's not, those things aren't the biggest deal on earth, but I'm seeing those in your video, it's like, oh yeah, this is what it literally is like being here. not just the good stuff. You got to wait in line sometimes too, you know? So,
yep.
And it's much better to wait in line with friends than standing by yourself.
It sure is.
So, but number one place to find everything you need, links to all your social media, Fresh Baked Biz. Oh, I messed up Disney. I must be tired. Fresh Baked Disney. FreshBakedDisney.com.
It's the right place to start.
Yeah. Yep.
Alrighty. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for inviting us, James.
thanks again to David and Sarah from Fresh Baked Disney coming on and chatting up Maleficent Talk. Their website, once again, to check them out is freshbakeddisney.com. Coming up in our next show, our 21st show, which is very appropriate, I'll be joined by the author of The Dark Side of Disney, Leonard Kinsey. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I'm really concerned about something you said on the show, James. You can email me, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pics, links to all our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you gotta do is go to creepykingdom.com. Speaking of social media, this countdown to Maleficent will be going on all week. I will be posting various fan art and cosplay Maleficent pics. I have a huge collection of those. I've been saving them up, and we're all going to get real, real pumped for that. Also, at some point this week, I will be live tweeting Sleeping Beauty. I don't know when. I don't want to commit to a time yet. But if you're on Twitter, follow me at Creepy Kingdom. Keep up with that stuff. And also, if you happen to see this movie before the next episode, let me know what you think. You can tweet at me, you can email it in. Eventually, we are going to do a review show, but I want to wait for that so that enough people get to see it and all that. So that, you know, it's not going to be an instant review. I mean, we can move on to something else, guys. You know, it doesn't have to be all Maleficent all the time, but I wanted to go pretty hard. You know, I wanted to make a stance and say, this is the kind of film that Creepy Kingdom supports, wants more of. And I think that's pretty clear. So, we're in the iTunes store. You can subscribe there. You can review us. You can click the 5-star. You can do it. And we're available for the Stitcher app that streams podcasts directly to your mobile device. Well, until next time.
Keep it creepy. I have a girl now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.